Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Honor, glory, majesty, dominion, and excellence be ascribed to your holy name. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord, this morning. We thank you because you are good. You're always there. You said it is the Lord our God that doth go with you. He will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Ha, glory to God. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, Lord, you will always be there for us. Now, Lord, we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine even in our hearts this morning in the name of Jesus and give us understanding, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, welcome everybody this morning. Ping someone in to join us as we share this exhortation this morning with us. So, today's lesson is titled Blessings and Testings, an Inseparable Package. That's right. So, think about that for a minute. And when you think of that, what comes immediately to mind? You know, on the one hand, blessings. And then on the other hand, well, testings or things that are not so savory and not so pleasant. And there are some scriptures I would love to share with us today. Praise God. Just to help us and to encourage us even in this season. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, Job was a man that was acquainted with grief. He's a man of sorrows. It was kind of like Christ. He was acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrows and so forth. He said in Job chapter 30 and verse 26, he said, I looked for good, but evil came. I waited for the light, but instead there was darkness. Well, some of us may feel like that at times, you know, but I want to tell you that the word of the Lord will be real for you even as we enter this month. Last month, the Lord told us repeatedly that he was bringing us to a place of rest. You know, we even did a series on Exodus. And as we come out into this month, the Lord was telling us last month it would be the beginning of months. And as we come into this month, we see that they actually did come out of that, you know, hard bondage that they had. And we are poised, you know, for something great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want us to consider some of the scriptures, and I will be sharing scriptures with us today. I hope someone can help us post those scriptures. I'm going to share a few scriptures, actually several, that will help you as we go through this. But let me give a background to this. We're going to start right from the beginning in the book of Genesis. And you've heard me say this before, but you know, we need to say this again and again to refresh our minds, remind us of these things. In the beginning, we're told that when God created the heavens and the earth, at the beginning, the earth was without form and was void, and darkness, see, was upon the face of the deep. Then the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters. And then God did a remarkable thing. You know, the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. See, there was a division made, that God made between the light and the darkness. But he saw that the light was good. And then he went ahead and did this thing here. In Genesis 1 and 5. He said, let the light be called day, and let the darkness be called night. You know, I mean, he gave a name not only to the day, but also to the night. In other words, or rather, he gave a name not only to the light, which he called day, he gave a name also to the darkness, which he called night. And you might wonder and say, why in the world would God do such a thing? I mean, why would he give a name to the night, you know, as well as though he was actually acknowledging the night? I mean, you acknowledge something, you know, like the light was good, he said. He gave a name to it. He didn't say that the darkness was good. The light is what he said was good. But if the light was good and the darkness was not, then why not abolish the darkness right from the beginning and be done with it? You know, yeah, that's my argument, that, you know, the Lord could have just abolished the darkness. He might have said, he could have said something like this: let there be light, and let the darkness be no more. Could have said that. You know, but every time I talk on this subject, I say, but he didn't. And not only did he not say that, he actually gave a name to the darkness. And then we fast forward to an explanation, sort of, you know, that the Lord gives us in Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. And we've read this many, many times on this platform, but it goes with this lesson. So I want to put it right here again. In Ecclesiastes 7 and 14, we're given the reason why there is light and darkness. So to speak, in this particular place, he calls it prosperity and adversity. You know, so the light is when things are good. The darkness is when things are bad. The prosperity is when things are good. Adversity is when things are bad. And the challenges and so forth. And so this scripture gives an understanding of why. He said what you should do when things are good, what you should do when things are bad. But then you should remember why. You know, he said, look, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, be glad, sing songs, be merry, celebrate. That's right. You know, some people don't even know how to celebrate the successes, the good things, the little things. Sometimes because it's little, we don't know how to celebrate. We're waiting for the big thing. Well, you know, celebrate the little ones. This man Job said, look, I look for the big thing, but evil came. I look for light, but darkness came. I look for good, but evil came. And all of these things. You know, so look, but when you do have the good, rejoice and be joyful. But also, on the other hand, just as surely as you have the prosperity, there will always be also the adversity. He said, in the day of adversity, also consider what? Well, consider the reason why it is so. Why can't we just have prosperity without adversity? Why can't we just have blessings without the testings that go along, which I'm going to talk about today? Well, I said the reason is God has set one over against the other, which means he put them side by side as a translation of that. God set the light and the darkness, the day and the night, side by side. You know, and God allowed this thing to continue. I mean, assuming he wanted to see how it even looked, which I'm just speaking as a man because God knows all things already, he could have just let that be the first day and be done with it, and after that move on and let's just have light and nothing more about the darkness. But no, he actually let it continue. And as for now, you know, as long as we live until this side, there's coming a day when there will be no more darkness. There's coming a day when there will be no more need for the light of the sun. But we're a long ways removed from that day yet. But for now, you're going to have day, you're going to have night. But God also says, well, the reason he does that is so that you will learn to seek for the Lord. If things were always good, you know, sometimes people might not remember the Lord. And if things were always bad, sometimes people might even try to curse the Lord. You know, Job's wife said, look, your life is nothing right now. Just look at everything is in ruins. And yet you hold on to your integrity. I mean, easiest way out of your misery is curse the Lord already and let him put you out of this misery. You know, and some people think like that at times. But thank God for the story of Job. He hung in there. You know, so, you know, but the Lord said, look, yeah, I want you to experience these things together. You know, the light and the darkness sometimes comes in the form of night and day. And as I've often said, no night can last forever. Not even the day can last forever for now, you know. And this is the reason why we have time and why we die. The reason is because of these night and day cycles. That's how you measure time. You know, with God, he has no light and darkness mixture. According to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, we are told that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And that's why he cannot die. He cannot diminish. He's always just the same. Unfortunately, that's not the case for us. You know, at least for now. There's coming a time when we will inherit and be transformed completely into that light. And we then also will no longer be subject to this, you know, cycle of life anymore. See, if there is no night or day, then you can't really count time. If there was no night and it was all day, you wouldn't know the start or end of the day. It would just be day all the time. At even time, it shall be light, he said. And there's coming a time when the light of the night at the day in the evening will be like the day and so forth. I mean, it's coming, but we are not there yet. You know, but for now, what we have is what we have. And well, how do we learn what we have right now? Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 7 says, you know, there is coming a day. Well, the Lord knows that day, you know. It comes when he calls for it. We're going to pass through a lot of things right now. We're going to go into many things, the millennium and so on and so forth, you know. And all those times, they're still counting time. you know, even the millennium, no matter how long it is, at some point in time, it will have a time. It's only 1,000 years. That's a long time, but at some point in time, it will end, you know. So, but thereafter comes something, you know, when there, God removes this necessary means of evil that we've had all this time of, you know, cycles of time, darkness and light, sorrow and joy, prosperity and adversity, blessings and testings. So that's the background for today. Psalm 30 and verse 5 tells us also that, look, you're going to have the night and you're going to have the day. Neither does the night last forever. Sorrow may endure through the night, but because the morning is coming and the night cannot last forever, then we have the hope that joy is coming in the morning. And then when you have that joy, unfortunately, when you are in that day and in that light, unfortunately, even it cannot last forever. It's a cycle that God put there, and it'll come back again to the night, and so on and so forth. You know, even we have seasons. These seasons are based on all of these things. We have, you know, the way that the earth revolves around the sun. You know, the way it rotates, the way it rotates on its axis gives us our days, the way it revolves around the sun gives us our seasons, and so on and so forth. You know. So for now, that's what we have to deal with. But someone will say, you know, someone will say, what about Proverbs 10 and 22 then? I mean, why then does he say something like this in Proverbs 10 and 22? If you keep on telling us that there's blessing and testing and all these things, why then does Proverbs 10 and 22 tell us that the blessing of the Lord, you know, it maketh rich and it added no sorrow with it? Well, I mean, we're not talking about God adding sorrow. We're talking about God adding testings. Praise God. Those are two different things. You know, if you know how to use the testing to your advantage, it won't be necessarily sorrow. You know, so let me just dismiss that right away, because pick that up, somebody's saying that in their mind. But, you know, never mind that. Let's listen and concentrate to these lessons. Let's see all the people that God thought to bless, and let's see what happened. But before we do that, let's consider some things of life that come in packages. Let's consider that roses come with thorns. Praise the Lord. You know, in fact, the roses grow among thorns. And when you get, when they pluck the wild roses, you know, it's full of thorns. Really, you have to get, you know, pick the roses out of the midst of thorns. You know, and roses are some of the most beautiful flowers. You know, sometimes even, you know, we refer to Jesus as the Rose of Sharon because of some scripture that talks about that. But nevertheless, the rose grows right in the midst of thorns. And if you try to pick the roses, the thorns might prick your hand. That's for the protection of the roses. And so that beautiful thing comes in the midst of thorns. What about the cocoon and the butterfly? You know, you've heard me talk about that as well. I mean, this elegant, you know, creature called the butterfly that can float and just almost seamlessly just float away that has this array of colors and just so beautiful. Well, it wasn't beautiful to start with. It was the ugliest thing you ever saw. Something very repulsive. You know, as that cocoon struggled and it looked ugly. And it's, you know, when it was in the larva stage, when it was in the caterpillar stage, and when it was crawling upon the earth, that thing was ugly looking, you know. But at some point in time, when the time comes that God appointed, that thing is going to put itself in a position, you know, to evolve, you know, and to emerge. He's been evolving all along, but at one point, you know, he's going to come out. Something's coming out of there. And during that time, if you watch it, I've seen it, you know, it's like a struggle to extract that thing. It's painful. It goes in and out, hangs upside down, does all these things. I mean, it's like, is this thing going to make it? Well, sure enough, it's going to make it. And God already put those things out there one time. He said it, and that's the case, and that's the way it was going to be, you know. And Jesus himself said, look, the corn of wheat must fall into the ground and die, John 12 and 24. If it doesn't die, it's going to remain alone. What? Come on now. I mean, why must the thing go through death in order to live? You know, think about that. And in order to multiply. Why must it go through that? Well, that's what Jesus said. And that's the way it was from the beginning. You know, you got to put that seed in the ground, and that seed's got to die first. And actually suffer corruption before it comes back into life. And brings forth, you know, something marvelous. You know, so these are just lessons of life that we have from the scriptures. And Jesus also trying to teach his disciples these things. You know, he taught it to them. He explained it different ways. John chapter 16 and verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow. Because her hour is come. Jesus is even talking about this. I mean, I thought you were the man of sorrows. And I thought you were the one to take away our sorrows and our griefs and so forth like that. Wounded for our transgressions or bruised for our iniquities. You know, God had laid the iniquity of us upon him and so forth. You know, and it carried away our sorrows. Well, did he really carry them away physically? Or spiritually? If Jesus carried away all our sorrows, according to Isaiah chapter 53, I mean, let's read the powerful prophecy that Isaiah gave about the Christ, which we know Christ fulfilled, because when he was hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. But let's take a look at it. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, yeah, carry them, but he didn't say remove them. He didn't say, you know, he said, cast them upon me. Cast your care upon me. But I care for you. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Never said you wouldn't have them. Sometimes people read these things as though we would never have them. That's not what he said. He will carry the sorrows, but you will have those sorrows. You know, and burn our griefs. Well, you know. Has he removed our griefs? No. But when we have the griefs, he will bear them for us. He will strengthen us and so on. You know, that's what he's talking about. Now, there are many things, many stories in the Bible where God, you know, hand-selected some people for greatness. I mean, he just did. Now, number one, I want you to know that greatness is from the Lord. It's not, you know, necessarily because people are trying to be great, you know, that they will be great. Maybe they will, maybe not. But We see a story in Genesis chapter 11. And I'm sure many of you know this story. The whole earth at that time was of one language and one speech, you know. And one time they said, look, you know, let us make brick, burn them and so forth. Let's put mortar and slime and let's build us a city and a tower to the top so the top can reach unto heaven and let us make ourselves a name. You know, you can read that in Genesis, the first 4 or 5 verses, 11, Genesis 11. Verses 1 to 4. Let's make ourselves a name. Let's be great. Let's establish something. You know, this is what they thought. The people that were there at the time, the people of the earth, they were all one language, one tongue and everything. They desired to be great. I will build into heaven. I will ascend into the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. That same spirit began to come into them again, like it was in Lucifer at one time. You know, and then the Lord looked down and said, look, we let this thing go. I've seen it before. You know, I remember Lucifer, you know, and we let this thing go, but let's deal with it right now. You know, so the Lord looked at it and he confused them. And he knew, you know, that, you know, when the language is confused, they can't communicate. And, you know, they do impede this plan. And the devil, he learned from that. He said, oh, when people cannot communicate, when people are not in unity, that's how you do it. So the devil, he learned something too from that. You know, until this day, he tries to use the same tactics. When people get together, you know, man, God has put it in us. Whether they are believers or not, especially people who are not even believers. Once they set their mind to sleep, the people in science and so forth, they get together and say, we're going to the moon. You know, we're going to, you know, these places and so forth. I mean, they put their mind in it. It takes them years, but eventually they'll accomplish something. And the Lord, he saw it. He said, look, you know, these people have one language. Nothing will, you know, stand before them because they are all one at the moment. You know, so, you know, the way to frustrate this thing they're trying to do, because that's not what God wanted, is, you know, put miscommunication among them. So we see how great the value of communication is between peoples, between spouses, between parents and children, between communities, and the churches. There's no communication. There's no unity and no oneness. You know, one person speaking one thing, the other speaking. That's why Paul always said, look, see that you speak with one mouth, one thing. And that with one heart, you have one purpose and one mind and so on. You know, so God frustrated him. You know the story. But then he looked and turned around. You know, right after that, he began to tell us about Abraham. Abraham didn't know anything about the Lord. I mean, in fact, you know, as the story went, you know, he actually grew up in the midst of, you know, idol worshippers and so on. He had no idea about the Lord too much. You know, but the Lord in chapter 12 decided to make Abraham great. And he said to him, get thee out of thy country and thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. Abraham wasn't seeking that. Abraham, you know, we don't know what he was doing, but he wasn't seeking that. And I will bless thee. And the Lord said, and I will make thy name great. The other people said, let us make ourselves a name. Let us be great. God said, no, you'll not do it. You know, Lucifer said, I will ascend to the sides of the north. You know, I will set up shop. I will set up my business among the stars of God. I'll be like the Most High. God said, no, I'm going to cast you down to hell. Praise the Lord. You know, and these people, they did the same thing. Same spirit started getting inside of them. Let's build the tower to heaven. They were not satisfied with where God put them. You know, I'll build into heaven. Let's make ourselves a name. Let's do this. Let's do that. God said, I put you down here. You know, you do what I want you to do. He said, no, you're not going to do it. But this man, not doing anything of the sort, you know, God said, look, I will make you great. So we see that greatness is of the Lord. But this same Abraham, to whom God promised all this greatness while he was minding his own business, you know, let's see what the Lord said to him. So these are the stories of these blessings and these testings, you know, that we want to consider today. You know, even, you know, I'm not even talking of the kind of test that Adam had. He had his own test too. God blessed him with this incredible knowledge and understanding, and the garden and everything was prepared for him. He had, you know, everything was right there. You know, just had to manage the place, you know. But he had a test too that God put right there. I'm not even talking of that kind of test, but that's there too. But let's look at these other packages that God brings, you know. In Genesis chapter 15, the Lord appeared to Abraham again in a vision and said, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know, of course, you know the story. Abraham said, well, what do you give me and all that? You know, and the Lord told him some great things. You know, he told him, look, I am going to give you something great. Praise the Lord. And, you know, the Lord showed him something, you know, that was coming too. You know, not only was this greatness that God promised him in the previous chapters and things like that, now God is going to tell him something else too. You know, the Lord had already told him it's going to be great. In fact, if you read chapter 12, you can read chapter 13. And, you know, we've spoken about that many times. And we've covered how, you know, when Abraham was separated from Lot in Genesis 13 and verse 14. And the Lord told him and brought him out and told him to look all around as far as your eyes can see. You know, so far will I give you your seed to be like that forever. The land and everything, the dust of the earth, your seed will be like that. And God already promised him all this greatness. And that his seed will be so great that cannot be numbered. You know, you can read it in Genesis 13, you know, verses 14, you know, through 17. The Lord gave him incredible promises and blessings and put it upon him. You know, even at the time he didn't have a child, told him how great it was going to be. His seed will be numberless and all the land he will get it and so on. Well, you drop down to Genesis 15. You know, he's still on the journey. The Lord now wants him, you know, a closer walk. You know, I'm your shield, exceeding great reward and things like that. The Lord now began to tell him, look, know of a surety, you know, according to verse 13 of Genesis 15. The Lord said, know of a surety that thy seed, you know, shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. You know, I mean, why? I mean, you just promised that they will be great. Why must they go through affliction? Why must they go through hard servitude? Well, that's what the Lord said. I don't know whether Abraham understood it all, because at that time he didn't even have a child. But I'm sure he kept those things in his heart and his mind. And he said, look, but afterward, I'm going to judge that nation that tormented, and I'll bring them out with great substance. The Lord already foretold these things. You know, 400 years, though, you know, not exactly 430, but 400 years. But the enemy stretched that even quite a bit, you know, 30 more years added to it. But anyway, he said, look, when they come forth, when the iniquity of the Amorites is full, they'll come forth and so on. And, but see the way that the package of tremendous increase coming with a package of servitude and slavery and all of these things that they will experience. Now, I can't tell you that Abraham knew the extent of it all, but that's what God put it right there. Right from the very beginning, said it to him, you know. So, and you know, it came to pass just exactly like that. His seed began to multiply, you know. But when they began to multiply in the land of Egypt, well, you know what happened to them and so on. We just went through those series. But yet, what God promised them was greatness, expansion and increase and so forth. Well, along the way, you know, came all this trouble as well. And sometimes God is not as explicit in foretelling and telling us all of the hardships that will come. In the case of Abraham, he actually did tell him ahead of time. But when they were flourishing and prospering and so forth, everybody forgot that these things God has said are coming. You know, they were just doing well, Joseph and everybody. You know, I mean, the Pharaoh promoted him, you know, loved him, gave him a free hand to do anything he wanted in Egypt. And of course, he brought his family down, his father and everything, gave them a land and gave them things. And they were just flourishing, you know, for a long time. They flourished. You know, maybe for a few decades they flourished. You know, perhaps that was part of that extra time they spent there. But then, when that one Pharaoh died, another Pharaoh came that didn't exactly know Joseph or even care for him and said, "What are these people doing here? How'd they get here?" And the story changed. So, from the blessings, now into all kinds of problems. But God knew the package from the beginning. What about David? I mean, I'm not even going to take time to read the story of David because everybody knows it, I'm sure. But I'll just paraphrase it to you. David was appointed of the Lord to be king to replace Saul. Yeah. And the Lord anointed him to be king, but I mean, for years, decades, you know, he was running for his life. I was like, I mean, Samuel already had poured the oil upon his head that he would be king. But that kingship, that ascension to the throne wasn't coming without a lot of peril in his life. I mean, Saul many times almost killed him, threw the javelin, threw the, you know, spear at him, did all kinds of things, was constantly running for his life. Yet, God said, "You will be king. I've chosen you." God even chose him among all his brethren. You know this story. He wasn't invited to the coronation ceremony at first, but he was the one that God chose. God chose him and picked him to be great, to be the king, to be the leader, commander of my people. So I found David, chosen him, Psalm 89, to be commander of my people. He did. But was he a commander when he was running for his life and spear and javelin were being thrown at him from pillar to post, from city to city, and he was running for his life all the time for years? Well, yet he was promised greatness. You know, and these things are so in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. This is the way it is. Sometimes God doesn't tell you, God didn't tell David that your life will be in peril, you know, because you're trying to ascend to the throne. But David, well, he took it in stride. He even had opportunity to rid himself of his enemy, you know. The people even urged him, "God had delivered your enemy into your hand. Rise up at once and slay him and put an end to this thing." And David said, "I will do no such thing. I will not lift up my hand against the Lord's anointed. His time will come and his day will come. But me, I'm going to wait patiently for the Lord." Glory to God. You know, so he knew what to do. But my goodness, was his life one of sorrows. You know, and even when he got into the throne already, finally, was everything peaceful? Well, at first. But then even his own son rose up against him. There's all kinds of things. You know, went on. You know, what about Joseph? Perhaps one of the greatest stories on this, a lesson like this, You know, in his dreams, he saw greatness, how he would rise above his brothers. He was almost the last born in his family. Only one other person was younger than him, but, you know, looked as if he would be greater than all of them. And from all the dreams and different things, you know, and, but was he greater than the rest of them initially? Absolutely not. In fact, his life was a life of misery, testings, trials, you know, thrown into the dungeon. I mean, first of all, thrown into the pit. They even wanted to kill him at first. Sold him to slavery. On and on. You know this story. We talked about it multiple times. But the lesson here is this. The promise of greatness that came through those dreams. Well, Joseph didn't know that it was a package. You're not going to get into that greatness until you go through this stuff. But God didn't tell him the stuff that you have to go through. Sometimes he tells you, sometimes he doesn't. But whether it tells you or it doesn't tell you, those blessings will come sometimes with testings. So that's the lesson today. That's what we're talking about. And so Joseph, he went through those things. But nevertheless, the word of the Lord will stand fast. No matter what. Well, let me give you some promises. I mean, some things and some scriptures and so forth. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, you know, verses 12 through 15, we see a valuable lesson here in these testings and trials. And why am I saying this? Because, you know, some of you are going through blessings and trials at the same time. Blessings on one hand, and on the other hand, trouble. You know, you're building with one hand. On the other hand, you're holding your sword. You know, that's the way it was in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra and the rest of them. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, I remember the Lord told us that, you know, when they have rest is when they build. So you have rest now. It's time you build. But that building is going to come with Sambalat and Tobias. You're going to have their say about it. You got to hold your sword on the other hand. You cannot, you know, I've not really dealt with, you know, that lesson, here, but you can't do it without all that trouble. And sometimes you know the trouble ahead of time and sometimes you won't, but it's there and it'll come. Just as sure as the night and day cycles are there, you know, so also these things together, you know. Now, for when God made promise, you know, well, okay, let me read it from verse 10. Verses 12 to 15 is where I'm going, but let me read it from verse 12. You know. Now, or even verse 9. But beloved, we have persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Even though we do speak, well, there's some things that will accompany your salvation, you know. But God is not unrighteous. Some testings will accompany your blessings. But God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, through faith and patience. Why must they be patient? Well, because if the promise doesn't happen on day one, you know, your faith will see the promise as given, but your believing and your patience will get you there. We've talked about that many times in this room. For when God made promise to Abraham, you know, and God looked up and down because, you know, people in their culture, they swear by somebody greater than themselves. So God also trying to do the same. Well, he said, well, you know, let me swear by somebody greater. But he found nobody greater than himself. So, well, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. But look at all the trouble of Abraham, even till this day, you know. And so his seed many, many things they went through. But this scripture says that so, verse 15, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The promise was given, but it took him many, many years, 25, before he could inherit that promise of getting his own son from, you know, Sarah and so forth. You know, and well, it was a lesson for us to learn today. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. You know, we're told that, you know, you have need of patience when you are going through these testings, and they will come. These testings will come, for you have need of patience. Hebrews 10 and 36. That after you have done the will of God, well, you might inherit the promise. Well, why is it after? You know, why is it not before? You know, why do I have to, you know, go through all these things? Why doesn't God just remove the hardship? There's many reasons, you know, and then the Lord also, he strengthens us through these things. As written in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, but the God of all grace, hallelujah, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, well, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Well, I could argue, and you could argue, well, why must I first suffer before you settle me? Settle me already. You know, establish me already. Make me perfect already. Well, this perfection comes through some of these testings, you know, and the strength comes through some of these testings that you have to go through. Praise God. God uses, you know, these trials of our faith to teach us patience and strength, you know, and so on sometimes. You know, let's read James chapter 1. And, you know, James began to talk about these things, how God uses these things, you know, sometimes. He says, look, let patience, you know, sorry, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. This is not the temptation of sin. This is trials. You know, that's just a, you know, translation here, just a bad translation. Trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, so you can see he's talking about trials. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect. See how many times he talks about perfect and patience together. So patience, testings leads to patience. Patience leads to being, you know, strengthened and perfect. You know, perfected through all these testings. We have to endure these things. Jesus said himself in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19. He was talking today about many things that will happen even at the end. You know, but he wants to tell him about the patience that you must have. In your patience, possess ye your souls. A lot of people are going to lose their souls because of lack of patience. Because when the testings come and it was promised blessing, but they saw testings, some of them will lose their patience. They will lose their patience, you know, my goodness. And they will fall back, you know. And Paul wrote about these things. He said, look, I would not have you to be ignorant that the people that received the promises, you know, and the people that God brought out were afterwards destroyed because they had no patience, you know. Just because they saw some troubles along the way, they lost their, you know, resiliency that God was trying to have them build. And they wanted to turn back to Egypt. And God slew them in the wilderness. They asked for different things. They even asked for meat. And the Bible said that while the meat was in their mouth, God slew the fattest of them. And so on and so forth. I mean, there's so many things. Now, patience is actually part of the fruit of the Spirit. And there are testings that come with blessings will help us to get there at times, is what James is saying here. So when you know that God has promised you something, well, a different thing may happen, like Joseph. And all the times that all those bad things was happening to him, I guarantee you what the devil was saying to him, his brethren even said it to him. We will see what will become of your dreams now. And the devil, probably the whole time that he was in the pit, they were carrying him away to, you know, a foreign land. The man became a slave in the land of Potiphar. How he went to prison for a crime he didn't commit. You know, and so on and so forth. All that time, the devil would tell him, you're going to be great, huh? Your brothers, they are flourishing in the land that our father gave them. They have flourished. They have done everything. They are flourishing and so on. Look at you. I'm prison here. You're going to rot away here. You will be great, huh? Greatness, my foot. You know, the devil would tell him all these things. You know. But he patiently endured. The word of the Lord, we're told, tried him. You know. And sometimes the way the scriptures write these things is, you know, kind of strange at times. But the Lord gave us these things. Sometimes he says the word of the Lord has tried him. Sometimes the devil has come up against him. Sometimes this and that. But whichever way, we see that these blessings come in a package. And inside that same package, when you open the blessings, they're going to be testings right along with it. Almost impossible to get it any other way. Psalm 18 and verse 30 tells us the word of the Lord, how it tried, how the word of the Lord is tried. But at the same time, even though he's tried, you know, the Lord is a buckler to those that trust in him. You got to trust the Lord through the testings and trust and hang on to the promise. The good thing is, the Lord promised before the testings came. You know, so, you know, that gives you something to hope for. You know, if the Lord never promised anything, you know, then you will probably just be groping in darkness. Isaiah 43 and 2 tells us that the Lord promised that, look, while you're going through, he will be with you and he will give you the victory. So that's a promise that we have even ahead of the trouble. So when the trouble comes, we can look for the promise in the scriptures. You know, but the word of the Lord will be tried. Every promise that God has given, like this shall be the month of rest. Well, even last year, I began to talk about emerging. I mean, the year before. And then after that, this year, began to talk about, last year, talking about emerging. This year, talking about the quantum leap. The last month, talking about, you know, the rest and the this and the that that's coming. But still, we look for light, Job said, but darkness came. We look for the blessing that God promised, but all I see is testings and trials and so forth. Well, the Lord said, you know, I will emerge, but I lost my job. You know, and all of these things. Well, yeah, but, you know, the word of the Lord is for sure cannot return void. It will be tried. Even according to Psalm 105, verse 19, the psalmist telling us the story of the children of Israel and so forth, and Joseph and all of that, how the word of the Lord tried him. But something to remember is that his grace is sufficient for you. Paul would write of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He had this thing going on with him in his life, for the which he prayed multiple times that the Lord would remove it. You know, people have debated what it might be, you know. Some people said this and that and so forth. He called it a thorn in the flesh. You know, some people said that, oh, you know, maybe Paul was actually blind from the light. You know, because one time he was telling the Galatians, you would have plucked your eyes out to give to me. So people said, oh, maybe he was blind. Well, people knew neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Paul was not blind. you know, this man called Ananias, you know, he said, I have sent to you to pray for you that you might receive your sight. And so he did receive his sight. But he had another kind of thorn that was in his flesh, you know. I mean, how his brethren trusted him not at all. The Christians, because of all the things that he used to do and so forth. And everywhere he went, you know, people might receive him, but some people would doubt him and so on. There's a lot of things that was in his flesh, persecutions and different things. And he wanted, you know, ask the Lord, you know, get this thing out of me. Now, God doesn't always remove persecutions. You know, sometimes we got to go through. You know, Jesus himself said, look, no servant is greater than his master. And if they've done these things in a green tree, well, what about a dry? If they did these things to me, they will do them to you. You know, so, you know, that's another form of, you know, trials and testings that we must face. I mean, the Lord promised us glory. You know, the Lord promised us, you know, that, you know, we will be like him and all these things and so forth. But yet, today, all we do is suffer and do many things. Well, this is what the encounter when Paul was going through these things, you know, this is what he said. He said, for this thing, whatever thing it was, 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 8, I besought the Lord 3 times, and he might depart from me. But the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. So the Lord will let us go through some of these things that try to weaken us so that his strength may be made perfect in us. You know, and so Paul, he gave this, you know, he said, look, the Lord told me these things. So he also gave his own testimony after that. He said, well, you know, therefore will I glory in my infirmities, the power of God rest upon me and so forth. I take pleasure in reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, and so on. For when I am weaker, then I am strong. And so, you know, the Lord, you know, gave him the courage to be strong even through all the testings and the various things. You know, even infirmity of the flesh, we might have been, you know, but whatever it is, you know, Paul said, look, I've learned in whatever state I am, therein to be content. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. You know, listen to how he put it from Philippians chapter 4, you know, verse 11. I don't speak in respect of want, he said, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. When I'm in prosperity, I rejoice. When I'm in adversity, I consider. You know, knowing that the Lord has set one over against the other. I know both how to be abased when I'm down in the valley. I know it. I know how to be abounding when I'm up on top of the mountain. I know it. In everything and everywhere, I'm instructed both how to be full and how to be hungry. I know how to be in blessings and how to be in testings. I know how to abound. I know how to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this man, he figured it out. You know, sometimes he said, look, we're buffeted on every side. You know, everything come up against us, you know, like obscuring of the earth. We're like filth and the devil come up against us, so many things. But nevertheless, we are not cast down. No matter what is it, troubled on every side, not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Persecuted even, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Look, all these things will come up against us, he said. But through it all, we have the victory. Praise the Lord. Now, in summary, what we have talked about today is as follows. You know, packages of blessings sometimes come with testings. And most of the time, it's not even sometimes. It's almost like guaranteed. Come with it. Just like the day will be followed by the night. and the night will be followed by the day. These things go hand in hand, we're told. God has set one over against the other. You know, and sometimes when the Lord promises something and you're looking for it, well, the trouble is what you get instead, at first. And let me emphasize the at first part, you know, but you must hang in right there. I mean, the Lord Christ himself was promised that he will bring the sons of God to glory. He knew it from the world, before the world began. But what did he get? Affliction and sorrow and distress, and people spit on his face. That's what he got. You know, and even for 30 years, he had to patiently endure, you know, how God put him through that, you know, maturity test. Come as a baby. I mean, he could have just come with guns blazing right from the beginning. He had to go through some stuff for 30 years. 30 years, ladies and gentlemen, to prepare for just a 3.5-year ministry. My goodness. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, Christ has been through it. We will go through. Jesus said, be of good cheer. When you go through, remember, I have overcome for you. Praise the Lord. So these blessings that are promised us, they are coming. And I'm standing in my, look, I'm not moved at all by these things. You know, I'm standing right in my place of prayer. And I'm saying, Lord, this month of August, following the month of rest that you declared, will be the beginning of new things for your children. They will begin to experience. But Lord say, yeah. But it'll come with a package of testing. So you got to tell them, you know, because, you know, you might think that, oh, everything's just going to be hunky-dory from now on. Well, maybe there will be seasons, you know, that people go through, you know, but if you learn how to deal with these things, it'll be as if you never had any seasons. You will always flourish, because even when things are not flourishing, you will still be flourishing, because you will know that it's part of the package. It's a complete package. You just know it. Praise God. You know, for you, you know, to get, even science will tell you this, you got to mix certain things together. You know, you got to mix them together. The bad, the good, the ugly, to get the good sometimes. You got to mix hydrogen, you got to mix oxygen to get water. You got to, you know, some of them good, some bad, some elements, this and that. You know, you got to have the carbon dioxide, and you got to have the oxygen. You got to have these things all mixed up together, you know. You get it, you mix it up, you inhale the good one, you exhale the bad one. But you need both, you know, it's cycled in the, you know, it's all cycled in the, in nature. And, you know, yeah, the, you know, ecological, I mean, system cycles. You know, we take the oxygen from the vegetation and so forth. And we let out the carbon dioxide. They use it, produce more oxygen. We take, I mean, it's just like that. God has put all these things out there. Now, that's just the way it is. You can't have one without the other. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. I wish I could tell you that all the blessings you will have without any testings, but that will be inaccurate. That will be an inaccurate representation, which is what sometimes the way some people preach the gospel. Oh, come to Christ and everything's going to be all right. You know, God will take away all your sorrows. He might eventually, but I guarantee you that would be wrong expectation. You know, that's not what he said. Jesus said, you know, be ready to take up your cross daily and follow me. You know, and look, sometimes that cross may be heavy. You know, it's not, you know, but you're the one that's going to have to decide if you want that journey or not. But, you know, he'll be there with you. And at the end of the day, you find out as a life worth much more, you know, much, much more in living than the other life you had before. Small, rewarding, small, fruitful. But it comes in a package of blessings and testings. It's never just that easy. The disciples, they had great power. You know, yet sometimes, you know, Herod, he got a hold of and killed one of them before they even knew anything. You know, Acts chapter 12, got a hold of James and killed him. I mean, these are people that were very close to the Lord, you know, and so on. I mean, got a hold of him and killed him, you know. I mean, my goodness. So, these things happen. Peter, all the party had, it's not time to throw them into prison. Beat them up, and so forth. Well, the Lord doesn't always remove those things. I mean, Stephen, the Bible says the Holy Ghost came upon him. He was a man full of power. He went everywhere. He did great miracles among the people. Yet he was stoned to death, And the Lord did not actually prevent his death, although the Lord stood up to give him a standing ovation. He said, I see the Son of Man, stand up, and so on, at the right hand of glory. But did God prevent him from being stoned to death? Absolutely not. Did God prevent, Paul from the shipwreck and, from all the things he went through? And I begin to tell his story, all the things that has been, beating 5 times, 39 stripes each time, and all these things that happened to him, shipwreck and all, thrown into jail one day and the other, and so on, and many things. Well, yeah, they had great power. and all these things were happening to them. There were power everywhere. The disciples, the shadow of Peter, healing the sick. And yet at the same time, they were running for their lives and they're trying to be killed. And so for Elijah, great power and everything, called down fire from heaven and all this. And yet he was running for his life from just a little woman and so forth. Well, of course, a wicked woman, that is. I mean, so these things are mixed up in there, they're always mixed up. But I want you to draw strength today. And I'm going to pray for you now. You heard the lesson. You've got the wisdom now. You know you can't have one without the other, And the same way, you cannot have these testings and these trials and these challenges without a time of refreshing. You can't have it. So if you are going through right now in the valley, and if you are going through the night right now, according to Psalm 30 and verse 5, that cannot last forever. And joy is coming in the morning. Praise God. And if you're going through some time of joy now, well, just be prepared. Some trials will come. But in it all and through it all, we have victory. Praise the Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone that's within the sound of my voice. Sometimes the Lord promised the great things and we looked for light, but darkness came. We look for peace, but there was trouble. That's what Job said. But I say to you in the name of the Lord, stay right there with the Lord. Praise God. Listen to this as I pray for you. I want to read this to you to give you also wisdom. This is the way Isaiah, he put it. And he said, look, there are times that you are trusting in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Who is it among you? You're fearing the Lord. You're trusting him. You're obeying the voice of his commandments. You're obeying the voice of his servants. You're doing the will of God. And yet you are walking in darkness. These things are there. He said, look, you would think that when you are, believing the Lord and walking in after commandments of the Lord, that you will always be in the light. He said, no, there'll be times that you will be doing all those things and yet you'll be in darkness. It looks like, and some people say I was in a dark place. Well, sometimes you'll be, but what do you do then? Even when you are thinking you're in the dark and there's no light, the voice of God is not even coming. You're not hearing. You're praying for direction and strategy and nothing is coming from the Lord. What do you do then? He said, well, let him trust in the name of the Lord and let him stay right there with his God. Don't give an inch. Isaiah 50 and 10. I pray, Lord, that you give us the grace to embrace this scripture and to stay right there with the Lord, no matter what the enemy throws at us. Glory to God. Knowing that joy is coming in the morning. And I pray for everybody that's in this room. If you're going through, you're coming out also on the other side. Glory to God. And he's waiting for you. He's with you here. He's with you on the journey. And yet he's waiting for you on the other side. Praise God. Now, can you see it? Can you see yourself on the other side of the sea billows right now that are raging up against you, tempests and things? The brick wall that seems as if your prayers are not answered. But can you see beyond that wall right now? Can you see it? Hallelujah. I pray that the Lord, will give you spiritual insight to see by the eyes of faith, you know, the what lies ahead. See the promised land, even now, that you are still in the wilderness. See it. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory for the encouraging and encouragement of the scriptures that we have read and shared this morning. And the Lord strengthen every one of you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And God, he will never leave you nor forsake you. And not many days hence, you begin to see the sea billows roll backwards. God showed it to me. I saw it. Praise God. And it's coming. And everybody's story, what you might experience through it all might be different. But you hang there. Let him trust in the Lord and let him stay upon his God. For the Lord will come through for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.